True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, so let's talk about this Powerball. The jackpot is $1.3 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And the cash value is $589 million?
Correct.
But then you got to pay taxes.
Right. Federal taxes, Louisiana state taxes, unless you're in one of these states that has no state income tax, and you get to keep a little more.
So does that depend on where you live or where you buy the ticket?
It depends on where you buy the ticket, because if you, say, for example, if you live in Louisiana, but you buy the ticket while you're in Pensacola, you'd have to go back to Florida and buy the ticket. Now, you wouldn't pay the Florida income tax, but I'm sure Louisiana would want its cut. Mm.
So figure about half, maybe, of that?
When it's all said and done between federal and state, yeah, you'd be giving away half of your winnings, at least.
So you start at $1.3 billion. You take the cash value and you wind up with $300 million.
Yeah, roughly.
Still a lot of money, but not $1 billion.
Still, I'd settle for $300 million.
Yeah, but that's something if you think about it. You start $1.3 billion, and then by the time everybody gets paid, you're still happy and comfortable. We'll take a break. We come back. We'll talk to Ronald. Sir, what would you do? First thing you'd do if you won?
Pay off my bills. That would be the first thing. After that, I'm not sure.
I think I'd probably get the sink fixed in the bathroom.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah. Priorities. We'll take a break. Come back. Talk to Ronald Surpass about crime and mayoral candidates here in WWL. We talk to Chief Ronald Surpass every week, former NOPD superintendent, started as a cop, really, a beat cop, and then got on a horse, and then was an officer, and then was a detective. Chief, take me through your career, as a matter of fact.
Well, thank you, Tom. It's good to talk to you guys.
Now, good morning.
I joined the NOPD in 19. 19- I did. I joined the NOPD in 1980, the month after I turned 20. Was assigned to the French Quarter, walked a beat on Bourbon Street, rode a horse on Bourbon Street.
What year was that,
went
Chief?
To 1980.
Wow.
Hard to believe.
Yeah.
1980. I did that until I got promoted to sergeant in 85. I went to the 6th District, Central City, did that for a couple of years, then became the DWI sergeant in command. Then went on the motorcycles for a couple years, then became a lieutenant, was the assistant commander of the French Quarter District, then went to Algiers and policed in Algiers, became captain, became the commander of the crime lab, one of the most fundamentally important jobs I ever had in my life. Then as a major, was overseeing the detective function, and then Richard made me the number two chief for 6 years, and after that I left and went to Washington State.
And then?
Came back after 3.5 years in Washington State, as the state police chief, went to Nashville, Tennessee for nearly 7 years as the police chief in the city of Nashville. What a wonderful place. And came back in 2010 and was chief here for 4.5 years, leaving in the middle of August of 2014, and became a Loyola University professor and began consulting on the topic of policing.
Let me ask you this about this thing in Houston. And I know you're not, you're a PhD, but I don't think you're an attorney, are you?
No.
Okay. But from the law enforcement standpoint, if you're shooting somebody in the back as they're running away, chances are you're on pretty weak legal ground, are you not?
Sometimes that's the case. What happens in a lot of these shootings is everything happens so quickly. You may be facing someone when the bullets start, but mm-hmm. they're turning and you're turning at the same time. So what might appear to be shots in the back could very well be that seconds in those moments of people turning. Shooting someone in the back as they're running away, I mean, you'd almost have to say, did they have a gun over their shoulder shooting back at you?
Yeah,
it makes it something that has to be fully thought through.
But if there's no evidence of any of that, then chances are you're pretty much in a bad spot, right?
Yeah, that's a problem.
So what would you say?
Deadly force has to – you have to be confronted with the reasonable belief, meaning that you would believe the same thing, that deadly force with an instrument is available is being used against you. If it's not being used against you and it's available, then you begin to have no rights to use deadly force. Protect yourself.
And look, I'm a gun guy, and I'm not saying anybody shouldn't. I just always try to keep people out of trouble. And rather, I think you should look at it as, rather than, oh, maybe I can shoot this person here, you need to look at it as, oh, my God, I don't want to do it, but I have to, right?
Yeah, and I think everybody that I've ever experienced in all the years, I started overseeing the police-involved shootings in 1990 and did that all the way until 2014 when I retired. I never have met a police officer yet who woke up today and said, today's murder day. I think I'm just going to go kill some
people. Well, to be clear, I'm not talking about officers. I'm talking more about citizens.
Citizens?
Yeah, where what they need to think about before they pull a trigger. Because you are in a world of hurt once you do, whether you're in the right or not. I mean, you're in the system, right?
I think the point that I might make here is that many states that allow carry conceal will also encourage and or require an awareness course, just like an awareness, because people don't walk around normally thinking about life and death decisions while armed with a firearm, whereas police officers do, military people do. And I support that, the awareness. You just need to know that it can be an infinite decision that will change everything for all time.
That's got to be the last possible resort I think you need to have in your mind.
And I think people want it to be the last possible resort. People don't generally walk around wanting to kill people, right? So, I mean, I'm being maybe a bit Pollyannish, but I really do believe people don't wake up and say today's murder day unless you're in the murder business like we see here in New Orleans and cities around the country.
Yeah, I think it's more passion where you get angry and you think, okay, maybe I'll be able to do this or that or the other thing, or by God, I've had enough. But that's not enough justification. You need to actually be able to prove, and again, once you pull that trigger and put that bullet in somebody, you are in the system and a lot of things are out of your control.
Absolutely. Remember, somebody has to be using it against you with a weapon that you believe
can hurt. Yeah, say how you said that again, because I think that was very important the way you said that. How'd you say it?
Generally, the way the law works for citizens or police officers is that for you to use deadly force, the person who's confronting you has to have what you think is deadly force available to them and that they intend to use it against you. And the legal trick here is that any citizen listening to that in a jury would feel the same way you did. That's what the measurement is. And more often than not, the jury say, yeah, the guy pointed a gun at you, you had a gun. But it can't just be a whim and it can't be a suspicion. You have to be confronted with it.
I want to go a little bit more down this hole if we can. You know, you never know what I'm going to talk to you about because I get on one thing and then it leads to another and another. We're talking to Ronald Serpas. Well, but you got a lot of law enforcement experience, and I'm sure you've handled civilian shootings before, have you not, at some point?
Oh, absolutely. It happens, right?
It
happens when people's... Now, look, let's be clear. We're not talking about the groups and gangs that
That's not what I'm talking about.
Killing people for their business. I'm talking about two guys at a grocery store or two.
Somebody in a store, maybe in a store, or somebody in their home that thinks they have the right. Maybe they don't. We'll drill down on this when we come back. 821 traffic now, WWL. 826, Tommy Tucker, WWL, going deep into crime with Ronald Serpas, professor, practice Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former NOPD superintendent. Now you see him on national TV for interviews, and he's consulting departments, head of the Washington State Police, Nashville City Police. And that ding-dong ditch thing got me in Houston, got me to thinking about, you know, shooting people in the back, and not police officers, because that's obviously, you know, somebody shooting at you to turn around. What can appear to be shooting in the back is not. But if somebody's running away from your house, chances are you're not on very firm footing anyway if you open the door and shoot at them, are you, Chief?
No, you're not. Just like we have instances where people will use a deadly firearm when someone is breaking into their car on the sidewalk, we generally do not allow, as a principle, to use deadly force for crimes that involve property, not personal violence. And secondly, you know, when someone's running away from you, that's a heavy lift. I mean, there's all kinds of things we could think about that we don't know about. But generally speaking, I think the public sees something as a scenario wow, why did they do that? And that's how the juries make decisions. The jury has to decide whether or not they thought it was reasonable.
Somebody texted this in, and actually, I'm going to make it about you and me, although you and I get along very well. You hold me on your shoulders when Mardi Gras parades pass.
All the time.
Yeah,
all the time.
And actually, he appreciates the fact that I lost some weight, and also the Good Feet Art Supports help you as well, right, Chief?
I definitely appreciate the lost weight, and I just want everybody to know that now it's easy for us to both jump while we go for beads.
All right, you got me with that one. That's pretty good. The sight of Ronald Surpass holding me on his shoulders and both of us jumping for beads at the same time. And it's very successful, too. We come down with a lot. No, but seriously, okay, so you're 6'8" and a half. What are you? I don't know. You're a behemoth. How big are you?
6'5".
All right. 6'5". And I'm 5'0" and 100 nothing. We get into a fight. At what point does your size become a lethal weapon?
Well, the general principle is that an aggressor can't claim self-defense. So if you started the fight and you were the aggressor, at some point you do not have a right. You started it. But then reasonableness comes in. When would a reasonable person say that fight went on long enough? Tommy was unable to defend himself. Tommy was on the ground, unable to defend himself. Then the burden's going to shift a bit. And that's what the prosecutor and the defense attorneys are going to do. They're going to explain to the jury from their point of view, and the jury's going to decide when was it reasonable to stop the fight. And if it wasn't reasonable, the person could be held criminally liable.
Do you have, as a big guy, I'm not a big guy, I've never known, do you have people, occasionally want to see, not that you go to bars a lot, but want to see how tough they are? And it's like, I know football players have told me that they get hassled where people want to, it's like challenge your toughness and all that stuff, where you have to just like walk away from stuff.
I've always experienced it like I learned early on that people who are very large, and I wasn't large, I was just tall, they're generally so easygoing. It's just, I don't know if it's a purposeful trait or if it's a genetic
thing. I think the trouble would be the other way. The trouble would come from the smaller guy who's trying to prove himself, and at that point, you can't be the aggressor and then claim self-defense, right, if you go looking for trouble?
Well, and being easygoing tends to walk those things down, is what I see a lot of people of immense size. Not my size. I mean, people 6'8", 6'10", they're generally going to try to talk that stuff down. But I never really experienced anything like that. As a police officer, at one point, I weighed 170 pounds and I was 6'5". I wasn't too particularly
No, that's pretty thin. That's pretty thin.
When I was that size.
Yeah. You look like a clarinet.
But that's why I purposely went on to gain up to 310 pounds at one time, which then was a different picture.
But at that point, you and I couldn't jump up and grab beads at that time.
No. It would be really sad. Yeah. And back when you were in the pre-early day weights, we probably couldn't have walked.
No, exactly. That's right. Look, I appreciate talking to you because it's just like hanging out and talking to an experienced police officer, and I appreciate your time, Chief.
Always glad. Always happy to.
Take it easy. And thanks for making me laugh. Ronald Surpass, Professor of Practice, Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola. We'll talk to Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member, about some serious stuff. We come back. Right now, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. So we make our way through the morning, 8:40, 20 till 9. Somebody texted in and said they did the math for tonight's Powerball cash payout. $589 million, federal tax 24%, state tax 3%, that'd be $141 million for the federal tax, $17 million for the state. That leaves you with $429,970,000. Then it says if you choose to request to be anonymous, there's another fee for that, which sounds a lot like extortion.
I don't think in Louisiana you can do that. Under state law, lottery winners are all public records. So if someone requested it, the state would have to provide that information. If you want to stay anonymous, you have to form a trust, get lawyers involved, and all that jazz.
All right. Or I would suggest you probably see a financial analyst and all that stuff, or listen to Ian. Joe Geruso joins us as we come back. We'll talk about the budget deficit and what the city can do to fix it and what the new mayor's going to be facing. Back in a flash, WWL. 8:46, 14 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member. How you doing, Joseph?
I'm great. How about yourself, Thomas?
I'm good. Did anybody call you Joseph? Did you call me Thomas just now?
I did.
That
I did
nice.
Call you Thomas.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Actually, yes, because when you grow up in a house with three Joes, my grandfather was generally Chief, my dad was generally Joe, and then I was Joseph to the family.
They called me stupid, which is odd because there was only one Tommy in the house. Anyway.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
So you want to be mayor of New Orleans, right? Well, not only do you have the dysfunctional mess that LaToya Cantrell is leaving, you also got a $100 million budget deficit. Where did that come from? And let me get to this text because somebody said, hey, wait a minute. We got Super Bowl. We got this. We got that. We got the other thing that generates all of this money. How can the city have a $100 million budget deficit?
Yeah, so it's a good question from whoever sent the text. Mm-hmm. One of the things we learn, remember, once a quarter, we, like the state, have what's called a revenue estimating conference, or in government parlance, REC. And what the economist and what their city is saying is we did not collect as much in sales tax revenue from the Super Bowl in particular as they would have thought. Hmm. Now, well, that's our reaction too, mm-hmm. Tommy, because look, the Taylor Swift revenue mm-hmm. is technically coming in at the end of 2024, but you really won't realize that till 2025. And to your point, you would have thought with Mardi Gras and the Super Bowl mm-hmm. bookending each other, there would have been natural lifts. Even though they're separated, it's an exciting time. People want to be here. There are things going on, but that hasn't materialized. So there's sort of two different parts of this problem. Part number one is a revenue loss, much of which is kind of head scratching. So essentially there's $30 million the city thought it would have that it doesn't. Now, some of that was taken away by actions in the legislature, and I would argue the city cannot reasonably predict what legislative instruments are going to pass and aren't, and how it's going to adjust accordingly. But then they booked fully the traffic camera revenue, which shouldn't have happened. And they also overestimated on certain property taxes. And again, this is where people don't like it. The assessor says, well, you can go collect it. The city says we can't collect it, but it's $10 million. Mm-hmm. So if you add all those three things up, you're now in the hole $30 million. In February, we pointed out to the city, hey, your own budget is showing now a $40 million hole at NOPD. Is this a problem? Mm-hmm. City's response, no, it's not a problem. We're going to manage our way through it. This is the Super Bowl and January 1, which is, in fairness to the city, a problem that they didn't plan for or budget for. You're going to have to provide more security because of the Sugar Bowl and obviously protecting people after the terrorist incident and everything that's happened. Well, that $40 million has blown up to about $70 million when you take in account NOPD and other departments, fire, DPW, safety and permits. And so in May, we talked with the administration about, well, how are you going to get out of this? And you combine now the $30 million revenue shortfall with the $70 million overspending on personnel. That's how you get to $100 million deficit.
Well, you know what? As you say this, I'm wondering, are there any receivables on the books and any taxes that are owed that the city maybe is not collecting or that would help with that or not enough?
Yeah. There's again, I'm going to get in the weeds here. I don't mean to, but it's a great question. So ordinarily, there's something about this time of year that we call inside City Hall the cleanup ordinance. Mm-hmm. And that's usually money that has been left unspent or that was booked late in 2024, and it goes to the city's budget. And it's sort of like manna from heaven. You don't expect it, but it's usually there. And in most years, it's kind of between $5 to maybe as high as $15 million. Mm-hmm. Well, I think we should expect that there's going to be money from 2024 that was unspent. And how much is that? I've asked that question. I don't have an answer to it yet. And we're going to look at, and I now have my dry erase board in my office with these different things that we needed to look at. And we're going to have to look at expenses and how we're managing those, savings.
Would that include, Joe, let me jump in for a second. Do council people have discretionary funds, and should there be a freeze on that immediately where it's like, okay, guys, no more discretionary spending, or is that
already
going?
We're not quite like our neighboring parishes where we don't really have as much discretionary money. But to your question, I asked our budget team, the council's budget team, hey, we on the books have $4 million in operating expenses. Do we have to spend all of that money before the end of the year? And the initial response was, well, we think a lot of it is earmarked for certain things, to which my internal response is, well, that's nice, but we can't ask all these other departments to take haircuts, and but not us. We're exempt.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up here when we come back. You know what I love about you is you're a problem-solving guy, man. It's like, here, whiteboard, here we go. It's like, you remember that movie, Dave? Have you ever seen that movie? Where Charles Grodin goes in, he says, well, let's sit down, let's start figuring this stuff out. 852, 8 till 9, traffic now, WWL. 8:57 and a half. Quickly back to Councilmember Joe Geruso talking about the city's $100 million budget deficit. Joe, somebody texted in about the mayor's discretionary income funding or whatever, the fund, however you say it.
Yeah, I mean, the mayor has some funding. I would argue that's discretionary, mainly towards tourism and cultural issues. I mean, and look, at this point, to everybody who's texting, everything has to be on the table.
Yeah.
I think the two biggest issues are, what is that everything on the table? How fair is it to the residents and the people here? And how do we make it all work? And so, again, we're trying to look. I think back of the envelope, based on what I've seen.
Well, don't forget the cocktail napkin.
That's right, yeah. The 30, I've moved from the whiteboard to the napkin.
Right.
From 30 to 40 million, I think we can find fairly easily, and then we're going to have some real strong discussions about the remainder of that, and we'll do it. That's what you have
to do. So what does that look like for the people that live in New Orleans or work for the city?
I think the second part is a really good question. The things that I'm suggesting right at the very beginning will not be anything that will affect residents or people who work for the city at all. The next few things we're going to have to look at, again, those operating costs. Are there things we can cut? Are there other things we can do? And we're just going to have to manage our way through it.
The other thing, Joe, pops in my mind is, after I went, there is no Taylor Swift concert, there is no Super Bowl this year, so what does that portend?
Well, we're going to have to look at things for the future, too. So the next mayor is going to have a barrel of laughs. There's no doubt about it.
So you want to be mayor. Congratulations, you won. Thank you,
That's
Joe.
Right.
I appreciate it, as always. Anything you want to say that I missed?
Nope, you got it.
I'd be having a press conference later saying anything I should have asked you about?
I will not be having any press conferences with 131 days left. Don't worry about me.
I hear you. I got you. Just keeping your head down, doing your work. Thank you, sir. Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member. We come back. We're talking LSU football, and then we'll talk to the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, about the Saints. We're going to spend an hour talking football, and I feel like it, on WWL.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.